When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Oh yeah, y'all know what time it is when y'all hear that voice. It's your boy Bow Wow, aka The Frog, and welcome to the official. That's right. When I say official, I mean the real deal. That's right, man. Masked Singer Podcast. A production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by my family up there, KT Studios. And I am back to give you the inside scoop on everything happening in the Masked Singer universe. You know I got you back. Who is that? Coming up, I'm going to chop it up with our unbelievable, when I say unbelievable, I mean unbelievable, talented Masked Singer panelist, Miss Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh, wow.
The Emmy Award-winning Masked Singer costume designer. That's right, my homegirl, Marina Toy Beam. And as promised, we got that exclusive clue for you that you cannot find anywhere else but right here. Try looking. I bet you won't find. Go ahead.
Just drop it already.
So if I was you, I'd just keep it locked right here to the podcast. But before we get into all of that, let's go ahead and check our woman down to episode 5, because episode 5 was turned up.
Room C premiere.
It's the greatest costume ever.
I have every goosebump. Places I didn't even know I could have goosebumps.
Right?
And one performer that we had to wave goodbye to, which was Lips.
Take it off!
Take it off!
Oh my goodness! Wendy Williams!
Thank you.
Woo! She definitely did the thing, and it was hilarious too, by the way. But now that I got you guys all caught up, let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Who is that?
All right, my first guest tonight is one of our esteemed Masked Singer judges. She's a multi-talented force of nature. So let me just go down and just, you know, run down some of these stats. Scored a number one single, which is definitely hard to do. Sold over 60 million records as a solo artist and a member of the Pussycat Dolls. I know who I'm talking about, man. She earned a Grammy nomination and she won Dancing with the Stars. I can go on and on and on. Nicole Scherzinger, what's going on, Nicole? What's going on?
Oh, hey, babe. Thank you so much for that intro. Introduction. Wow.
That was a fire intro, wasn't it? You saw I put that whole thing together with the stats.
It was lit. I got excited. I was like, who's up next? Oh, it's me.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely you. Listen, it's all about you, the Masked Singer Podcast listeners. They're definitely excited that I got you in the building. So now I got you here. Let me go ahead and jump into it because I got some questions for you.
Okay.
So the first one is what I would like to know. How exactly did you get involved with the Masked Singer? Go ahead and break it down.
Rob Wade from Fox actually called me because we did X Factor in Dancing with the Stars together. Literally, I was doing another show or something in London. So I literally flew home and he's like, listen, I've got this new show. It's kind of out there. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. will you come and check it out and come down and just see the costumes? And I want to tell you all about it. And I literally landed and I went straight to Vox, to the studios.
Wow.
And saw these costumes. And he's like, will you like try it out with us? And I was like, this is crazy. And I was like, okay. And he's like, great, because we start tomorrow.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's rewind that, Nicole. Wait a minute. So you're telling me you get to Fox. And yes. they show you the costumes. They're kind of getting you in the loop of what's getting ready to happen. But you had no idea that you were getting a job and you were actually starting the next day.
The next day. I couldn't believe it. And I love, like, especially with things that I'm a little bit afraid of, I love right. taking risks. So I was like, you know what? This sounds crazy. Why would I do this? That means I should do this. And especially right. when he told me that Nick was going to be a part of it, and Ken and Jenny and Rob, you know, I know Robin, I know Nick. I think I'd met Jenny, but I didn't even know Ken, but I loved him. And then the next day, the first season, that first day is that first day I met Ken.
Right. That, oh, okay.
Like, everything was like right then. And like, we just wow. hit it off. It was just so easy and just was meant to be. Well, I think because we all didn't really know what was going on.
Right.
So we're just in it together. You know, we're like kind of vulnerable mm-hmm. and just up for anything together. And it just made us bond that much more.
Yeah, that's lit. I know one thing that everybody loves about the Masked Singer is the guessing game. But when it comes to you, like, what do you look for in your guesses? When you're on the panel, is it the voice? Is it the mannerisms? Is it
Mine can't is all voice and all vibe.
First of all, Dragon, your voice is so... Oh, I felt like when you started singing, like, I felt like I knew that voice already.
Yep. Really?
Like, Jenny be, like, piecing it together with the clues and stuff. I'm like, I don't even know what half the time what they're talking about. But I'm pretty good with voices, pretty good with, just as a performer innately, you just know. You'd be like, all right, this person has it in them. This person is seasoned. Right. This person... This is a natural talent for them, but you could tell they don't feel comfortable on stage, comfortable in their body. You know what I mean? We could just mm-hmm. tell from one performer to another who's got it and who doesn't, even if they have a mask on, how they're communicating through that mask, through the song, through the performance. I mean, I think I told you every week, I was like, you were born to do this. Thank you so much for being here. Like, because you just like illuminate, like it didn't even matter if you had that stale face on the frog face, like you were just illuminating. You blew the roof off the place every week because you got it. So you know who's got it. Then I eliminate from there. I go off of singing. But I think Uh-oh. When you're talking about this, I think one time it's because I got thrown off by the costume and some of them moves. But I just have to say again, your performance of Whatever It Takes, that's like a Grammy award winning performance
Thank
right there.
You.
Like that is like week after week, I was like, I felt like I couldn't articulate. I was like, do you all know what he is doing? Like, I think when somebody is so talented as you, I'm serious, like, as you, like, you make it look easy so people just watch and are entertained, but they don't realize the like just the talent that you have. It's right. amazing. I mean, they do, but I'm just saying, you just like, I was jumping out of my skin and
you
everything
were.
Week after week. I know.
You definitely were. You were definitely parading for the frog. I gotta give that to you. Like, out of anybody, it was like you were home team all the way.
And
just
your
like
rap,
that.
The lyrics that you were saying, everything, whatever it takes. For me as a performer, I'm like, if you don't leave it all out there, then what are you doing? This is
what
like what
doing?
We live for. This is what we were born for. It's like coming out of our veins, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I loved it. That's all. It only needed you on that stage. It was so powerful.
Powerful.
Is the word.
Look, we said ooh. The same time. Look at that.
I love it. I love that you just talk about yourself too. You're like, ooh, powerful. That's right. I was powerful.
It was lit. Because me watching, I'm like, that wasn't me. That was the frog. And I think that's one of the things that's so special about this show, and that, you know, for me being a rapper, we try to be so cool, right? Everything is about yeah. the swag, it's about the cool factor. And with the Masked Singer, you get a chance to really tap in to another side of yourself that you probably didn't know existed. But when you put yeah. those costumes on, it all comes to life.
It gives you the freedom to just let go and to
exactly.
just do things that you wouldn't have maybe, you know, kind of not limited yourself, but maybe overthought too much before. And when you got the mask on, you're like, hey, nothing holding me back.
Yeah, and I don't want people to be looking at the faces I'm making too while I'm busting my moves. Because you know when you're dancing, the faces that dancers make.
Oh my God, you were dancing so hard too. Like, I don't know how you were breathing under that mask. Like, you were perfect in your dancing, executing it. Oh my God.
We made it happen. And speaking of performance, Nicole, with season four, who would you say right now, out of all the competition, that has the best performance or one of the top performances that you've seen thus far?
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to lie. This season is so hard. It's really strong season for the females. It is. In particular. But right now I'm looking at a battle between Seahorse mm-hmm. and Sun. Both of them be throwing it down. Like I wouldn't want to be in that competition.
Even with the costumes too. Like I'm like, wow, Cassie, we got the Snow Owls is two people for the first time. I'm like, that's different. And the whatchamacallit outfit is ridiculous. I'm like, yo, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
I wanted to ask you, did you pick Frog?
Oh, so I did. I was actually going to be astronaut, believe it or not. I picked the astronaut costume first. And the reason why I did it was because I already knew I would do the moonwalk eventually. And the way how I was thinking, you see where I'm going with this, right, Nicole? Yes. And when I saw the frog, I said, oh, that's going to be dope because I can capture the kids. I can capture a whole nother audience with the Masked Singer. I know I'm going to have Rock with me. And it was the comfortability part. It was my daughter, you know, she loves the show. And I just knew it was just going to hit home with the younger demo.
I think they asked me this season, they're like, what would you be? And the first thing I thought of was a damn sushi roll because only because I love sushi. But like my favorite thing, and I get bored sometimes, is I'll go on the internet and I look up babies when mm-hmm. their parents put babies in their Halloween costumes as a sushi roll, and then they put a little beret on there, like it's a wasabi on their head, and it cracks me up. I just love it. So I was like, I'd be a sushi roll or a sumo wrestler, something funny. But then I thought, you know what? If I was taking it serious, I would be a phoenix, and I don't think anyone's been a phoenix.
That's lit. That's right? Lit. You know they're gonna take that, right? Season five. I mean, you gotta get your credit. I'm saying, Nicole, you dropping some real gems right now. They're gonna definitely listen to that. Like, okay, now when we get the Phoenix on the stage, you know,
it's gonna be lit. Literally,
it's definitely. And look, and speaking of sushi, was crazy. You're gonna be so mad at me. I'm the worst sushi eater. That's probably the only thing in my life I never could dive into.
Oh. You're
gonna have to put me on game with the sushi thing. I yet to meet anybody who can put me on it.
I will. I could do that. I got you.
All right.
I love sushi. I'm from Hawaii. Like I would like love sushi. I could eat it for breakfast.
Oh yes, that's crazy.
Oh, so good.
But is there anybody right now, or should I say this? Let me say this, because anybody gotten Nicole starstruck once they're unmasked?
Oh, I mean, yeah. You know, like for me as a singer, growing up listening to Dionne Warwick and Chaka mm-hmm. Khan, like. And Gladys Knight, like, how can I not freak out? And Patti LaBelle, right. You were just like, I'm just like, there they are. There it is. Right there. There it is. So I think those four women I truly love and admire and, you know, grew up listening and learning from them. Mm. Yeah.
That's big right there. And then a lot of times people don't understand the secrecy with the show. And I express this every week. Like, they really think it's a game. They think they can just roll up to the lot and just walk in and grab a ticket. And just I'm like, listen. Mm. It's not like that. It's I couldn't even tell my mom, and she's like, "You've been in LA for too long. What's going on?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm filming a movie." Like I had to. The Masked Singer had me lying to my mama. I had to lie to my mom. God. We can't.
You
talk.
Can't do anything. It's so on lockdown. It's like Secret Service everywhere. It's crazy. Like no one is allowed to come. So when I do Masked Singer. Like, I don't have management, I don't have PR, I don't have agents, I don't have anyone. I get hair and makeup, and when the time comes, when it's close enough, wardrobe gets to come in and dress me, and that's it. Then everybody leaves. Like, it's like that much lockdown. I'm not allowed to leave the room. Literally, they take you straight to the room a certain route away from everything else, certain entrance. And then you just go into your room and then they tell you when they're going to take you to stage. And then it's crazy. Somebody's following you the whole time.
And this is what's crazy.
You don't know anything. I don't even know where Nick Cannon's room is.
So what I want to know is if you were on a stage and you were masked up, right? What would be in Nicole's clue package that we don't know about Nicole that you possibly could give away?
That's a bit hard because, like, I don't know if a lot of people know that I was born in Hawaii. And there's not many people who are born in Hawaii and are actually Hawaiian. But then I grew up in the South. I grew up in Kentucky. Okay. I don't know. It's hard because I was also in a rock group and that people kind of know it. Well, not a lot of people. But then I started out in Pop Stars. I don't think people realize. I think a lot of people know me from the Pussycat Dolls, but they don't know my training. They don't know that I grew up and I studied like Shakespeare and I sing classical right. and like all the other different sides of me. But I've always, you know, I did grow up performing. But I think so I might stump them by educating them on some of those things that they don't realize. That's a little nugget, little gem right there. Thank you.
I
for
got
that.
You. And of course, you know, you got us. Nicole, I got to thank you. I know you got to, you know, get back to set. You got things you got to do. And of course, the Masked Singer podcast listeners are definitely thrilled to have you. And you got to come back. You got
to
come back.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm sending all my love to you and your family, especially during this time. God bless you
Absolutely.
All. And stay happy and healthy.
All right, now, super fans, I know you guys are chomping at the bit to get this week's exclusive clue, but look, don't worry, okay? Look, I tell y'all every week, just kick back and relax. You know I got the clue coming. I got y'all. Just keep it locked and be patient. You know, one of the things that makes The Masked Singer so incredible, of course, is the costumes. We all know why you guys tune in. Yeah, you watch the performances, and it's a hot show, but we know you guys love the costumes, all right? And it's incredible because I just how they come up with this stuff, even I don't know. Like, it's straight up art. And my next guest, well, y'all can hear laughing in the background right now, is the woman who brings all of these characters to life. I'm talking about the Masked Singer costume designer, Marina Toybina. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. I'm finally out the frog suit.
I know.
Out the suit.
I'm sure you miss it.
You know what? I do. I have this video in my phone, actually, with me on the last day with the frog head just sitting right next to me. And I'm always like passing by it and just thinking about the memories. I had a good time being a frog. I really did. So I got to ask you, it's the first time on the show. And I always ask my guests, how did you get involved with The Masked Singer?
The initial showrunner, Izzy, we connected via phone, and when she explained the concept to me, I just thought it was the coolest thing that we could bring to American television, and it was right up my alley. I've been designing for a long time, been doing a lot of music, a lot of tours, a lot of stage performances, so for me to take this a step further and really like dig deep into my roots from costume design to fashion design, it was just a perfect fit.
And you brought up your background, and how did you even like get started into like costume design? Was this something when you were younger? Did you see something that made you? Were you always into clothes and just creating? Or
I loved cinema growing up. I used to like beg my mom to take me to theater plays, and I was just so intrigued by every element of stage and performances and music and theater. I started when I was about 13, like heavily sketching and drawing ideas. And probably when I was 16, 17, I started playing around with fabrics and trying to bring some of my artwork to life. Went to Fit 'Em right after high school, started my own clothing line. My background was truly in fashion design, and that's what I've always wanted to do.
Wow.
I studied couture. I started McQueen's work for many years. And then slowly, you know, hustling my way around, started working with a lot of stylists. Of course, you know, just producing one-of-a-kind pieces, working all hours of the night, still, you know, having three jobs on the side, trying to really make it work. And slowly, the journey started unfolding itself, and I started teaming up with stylists that were more music-heavy and were doing stage performances and award show performances. And I started with the dancers, and then slowly kind of taking over the whole performance, I started working with the artists and the supporting cast. And from there, X Factor, that was my first TV show. And from there on, I've kind of switched my journey into costume design.
Okay, check that out. And then what particular challenges does The Masked Singer offer as a costume designer that you haven't had in the past?
So every costume for me is a challenge. You know, it's like I'll do the artwork and come up with conceptual designs, and then I look at it at night and I'm like, oh man, okay, here's a new one. How do we do this? And then I think I've been able and so lucky to surround myself with such incredible support team, you know, and our fabricators and builders and my sewers. It's just right away the relationship and the bonds that we have. It's almost like they understand my designs, they understand my artwork, and then from there I'm so meticulous about detail that until mm-hmm. we get it right, I won't let a costume go on stage. And wow. I think every costume for me is a challenge. You know, every body type that we're working with is different. Everyone's preferences are different. And then there's safety, you know, and all these things that you never really think about until the show comes to life is how can I make it better? How can I allow you to perform, you know, and execute the life to these costumes? So it's not just making it look pretty and incredible. And I myself do try out these masks once they're built, and everybody is so different. Like you said, everybody has preferences. And of course, breathing and vision is so important. And it's still a challenge for me. You know, we're still trying to figure out new ways to build these masks. And because it's not something that we're used to. It's not something that you put on every day. So you're accustomed to it. And not everyone's vision is perfect. You know, I've had to compensate certain talent that wanted to wear glasses underneath the masks, and then that changes our build and we have to create room for that. And I see, like, is it something, if somebody's claustrophobic, I've learned over the process that I have to build the mask closer to the face so they don't feel like they're breathing in their own oxygen. You know, I think even the best example was the Monster season one. It's the first time we made something that was like a cylinder costume. And then when T-Pain got into it, the first 10 minutes, everything was great. And then after a while, he was like, man, like, I really feel like I'm stuck in here, you know? So immediately after his first performance, we had to take the costume back and open it from the back and create vents behind the fur that nobody got to see. But it helped me. It educated me what to do when we're dealing with heavier fabrics, you know? So he was like a great example of somebody being able to perform once. And then right away, we had to figure out how to fix the costume on the spot.
I know one question I have for you, because, you know, this season I'm watching and I'm like, I'm like, yo, baby alien, he's sitting in the helmet, and how in the world? I'm just sitting here thinking, then I'm watching Whatchamacallit. I'm like, all right, this is okay.
That's now it's
oh my goodness. Where do you draw like the inspiration for these characters?
Oh man, you know, it's everywhere. I feel like the show gave me the platform to run wild with imagination, and things that I see every day are just so interesting and unique to me that I try to figure out what can we do different every season. And with season four, it was an interesting kind of process because we're stuck in this pandemic. You know, the world is in an uneasy place, and we're also limited. I'm limited on resources. You know, I'm not able to go into the fabrics I want to like visit or things that I want to get. So I think like almost magic happened with season four, where it took me back to the basics, you know, and drawing inspiration from my childhood and drawing inspiration from my friends and family members and audience. You know, what worked the past three seasons, and what can I really do that's interesting enough to, you know, bring a puppet aspect to the show, but at the same time, make it ours, make it unique. And I started watching a lot of Sesame Street with my kids. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got to make something that's like super kid friendly and fun and interesting. And right away, we started dealing with different fabrications and using chrome paint. And once that happened, it's kind of the spaceship idea came about, and then bring in the little alien, almost like our version of a baby Yoda, you know? And the challenges with it were so incredible, because it's like, how do you convince somebody like yourself to be like, by the way, you're going in this massive spaceship and you're going to puppet while you sing and while you dance? And somehow creatively it just came together. And I think Mark was so incredible to take it a step further and really take it on his own to practice, you know, how to use a puppet. And then that helped me build the costume. And that's when that importance of collaboration comes together with our talent, because once I know what they're willing to do, I can then take it a step further and make it, you know, magical and really push the envelope.
And I can kind of, you know, tap into that, because I remember my sneakers on season three. I you know, I was wearing the dress, like the 1940, 50 mob shoe. The black and white shoe was my primary shoe, but I know you remember this because we had to talk to Fox about it, but I wanted to, for a specific song for the Crisscross Jump record. I'm like, yo, this is a rap record. I want to wear sneakers because I got to jump. And I don't know if I feel safe jumping and sliding dancing shoes. I might slide off and, I don't know, land on somebody or something. Totally. I don't want to do that. So, yeah, so I there is a little teamwork effort once, you know, little requests can be made.
Right. You know, I am so open to that. I think what's so cool about the show is we're bringing these characters to life, you know, and right away we introduce all these like unique elements. But then what's also important, and it's important for me to designers, how do we execute that? How does it make sense for somebody that is a performer to be able to go full out and not be so, you know, constructed by this mask or this costume? So there's so many elements that I am completely open to suggestions and want to see it come to life and want to see that movement and want to see that performance. And I think that's the beauty of the show, you know, is there's so many elements that I'm learning how to interchange and intermix. And even for season four, I started like almost tweaking the costumes to the point where they could be almost irreversible, you know, and interchangeable, to where it's like somebody's not just married to this big gown. But when they want to rock out, I need to have a backup. I need to still keep the character and still keep this like incredible almost visual on stage, but give somebody that comfort and support to truly be able to be unique and be themselves. And I think that's key too. It's like, yes, we're putting masks on our talent and we're creating this world, but at the same time, there's still so much more to that costume because it matters who's inside. You know, and we did that with Monster for season one, you know, with T-Pain. It's like we started out with a shell of a character. And then all of a sudden I started being so inspired by his musical choices that I'm like, oh, man, like we're missing something. We're missing a story because the costume sometimes is the first thing people see.
Oh, my gosh. I just want to give you a big old hug with all your 18 little arms. You are just so adorable and lovable.
Yes. Oh.
You know, before you even put that mic to your mouth, there has to be a story or like this ambiance that's going to show us what we're about to see. And I started playing with little elements and dressing up my monster. And then it just made sense, you know, that sometimes in the process of the show, we have to come up with ways to like really musically enhance the costume and let the performance just live.
Just like that.
Yeah.
This is what I want to know.
Yes.
As a fan, and not even as the host of the podcast, just a fan question. What happens to the outfits once they're gone? Because the celebrities don't get to keep them.
The show does keep all the costumes from all the seasons. And, you know, various things happen. We've had the privilege to be featured in multiple museums. There's many times that the costumes go out on the road and there's many promotional materials for follow-up seasons or the season right after that they do start living in beautiful places, you know. And we've done like so many displays where the kids got to see them, you know. And the one thing like that's like my hopeful plan is at some point, you know, I would love for Fox to do some sort of a Masked Singer museum. You know, you've seen them in person. There's so much work and so much detail that I think doesn't even translate properly on television, you know, that unless you see them in person, you start paying attention to all the detail, that it would be nice, you know, at some point to see all of them kind of be grouped together and present it to the public.
Yeah, that would be really, really fly. That would be really fly. Because I know I'm like, you put all this hard work into making them. And I'm like, even Marina, she can't even keep the outfits. She's making them.
I see them in like, boxes and I cry. But, you know, that is like the hope that I have for the show, that maybe someday in the future, it would be really nice to kind of all of us to collaborate together. Because I think it has affected the public so much, you know, and it's not just a number one show because it's unlike any competition. I think it's also number one show because it's filled with so much art, you know, and so much talent and so much just beautiful expression of voices and music and celebration on stage that I think it should continue on and inspire people and even pass the show, you know.
And it definitely will. It definitely will. I got to thank you. And of course, podcast listeners, I'm gonna thank you on their behalf too, because, you know, information like this is useful. They love to hear the insights. And, you know, we always see what we're being shown on TV. So to get even a more glimpse of what happens behind the scenes is definitely dope, and I appreciate you. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate you, and thank you so much. Have a beautiful day, and you guys stay safe and healthy.
Now, the moment you all been waiting on, man, listen, I know why you guys listen. It's not because I'm on here hosting. I know that. I know it's these clues. I know what you guys really like. So let's go ahead and dive right into it, man. Exclusive to our iHeart listeners and all of our super fans all around the world, it is time for tonight's exclusive clue. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know your boy Bal, I'm always having guests come through the show, right? Because it's just hot like that. And we talked to the Kluzar. That's right. But this week, we're going to switch it up because I got a counterpart for me today. That's right. His counterpart is here. I'm talking about Clue Queen, and you're in the building. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh, Frog. I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing real good. The frog smelling good. Got my frog cologne on. I'm all right today. I'm feeling real good. How you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing so great. I'm so happy to be here, especially with some exclusive clues, and I can't wait to talk about, you know, this week's episode.
All right, cool. So let's go ahead and dive into it, because I know that people have been waiting. This is what they listen for. What's the most important trick to putting together a good clue package? How do you put all of this information together and give us what, you know, what we love, the clues?
Honestly, you have to, like, become one with the person. Mm-hmm. Not just the celebrity, but the costume. You really kind of have to, like, I don't know, become one with that character and live in that character. And that's kind of how the way that we come up with our frameworks and our creatives and our stories is we not only do tons of research, we watch interviews, we watch movies, we listen to music. We really, you know, you have to, you know, become one, for example, with the frog. And so, you know, we studied you for such a long time. It came up with all these great clues for you. You have a Footloose package, which is one of my favorite packages of all time. And we just try to, you know, always push the boundaries and be super weird and super fun and get people excited and help tell your story.
Right. Okay. So how do you go about getting the clues out there without giving up too much information? How do you manage to put it like right in front of our face where we can guess it, but it's not what we think it is? How do you know when you can't go too far without giving up too much info?
But that's the hardest part of the show. You know, that's the trickiest thing is that we have everything. We want people to not feel like it's too hard, but we never want it to be too easy. So we have to kind of every single word, every single visual, we have to craft and make sure that no matter what, we're being true to the celebrity, being true to their story, but also kind of like, you know, leading people down some other roads, getting people away from you, right? It's really, really hard, and we take it very seriously. And we always have, you know, some really tricky clues, our deep cut clues for, you know, the Redditors out there, holla. But no, it's really tough. And it's taken, you know, a few seasons to really get the formula right.
And how long does it take for you to put a clue package together?
Oh, it can take anywhere from like 4 months to 3 days, depending on when someone is cast. But no, there's not really a time. I mean, I'd say usually a few weeks, just to kind of figure it out and come up with a plan. And we like to come up with whoever is coming onto the show. We like to think about their whole season arc, right? So we don't want to just kind of do random packages with random clues. Like for you, it was great because we started off in this kind of like 40s newspaper dance world.
Correct.
And then we kind of, you know, the detective packages. And then we kind of had you with like a clue murder board, which was really fun. And we talked about your daughter and dancing. So we really wanted to have kind of, you know, an arc to clues. So it can take a while.
You definitely do your thing. And what I want to know is this. You've got some inside info on Lips, the clue package. We've seen that. And obviously, it was Wendy Williams, you know, who was unmasked tonight.
Oh, my goodness! Wendy Williams! The amazing, legendary, Emmy-nominated talk show host, Queen.
All right, let's go. All right, so we had a baby kangaroo, or a Joey, right? A baby kangaroo is called a Joey. So, because who else shares her catchphrase? Joey Tribbiani from Friends with his, how you doing? But hers is, how you doing? Okay. So that was a fun one. There were clues from her talk show Everywhere. So we had a leopard print roller skate for her shoe cam segment. And because he loves leopard print. Fire for arguably her most famous segment, Hot Topics, and for the title of her many best-selling books, Wendy's Got the Heat. You mentioned the ice cream scoop, so that was for her segment, Inside Scoop. So those are a whole bunch of different segments that she does on her show.
These are hard.
Yeah. So then, but literally, we also, you know, we did want people to be able to guess her. So we literally, she said she has strong opinions and a big mouth. Which, you know, I mean, she does. She's like, you know,
that's what she does.
Queen. She's gossip queen. I mean, she's like the premier celebrity news queen. So then We heard her say that she's been shocking the public for decades and saw her literally get shocked by electricity, both because she was a radio shock jock, or shock jockette, I should say. And then we saw, okay, this is one of my favorites. We saw a disco ball with disco fries made iconic on Jersey Shore, where she's from, because she was born in Asbury Park, New Jersey, hence the number 12 sports jersey, by the way. Number 12 sports jersey, because she's had 12 seasons of her show. So that's a really fun one. And then the biggest one, one of my favorites, there was the West Wing snack bar, which people were like, online people were like, is that Omarosa? Is it Michelle Obama? All kind of crazy guesses. But it was all about those double W's for her initials, Wendy Williams. So
oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
those are the greatest hits of her package.
Oh, I would just, I'm lost words. You every clue you gave me, I'm like, I'm trying to pin it to Wendy. I would have never gotten this. I would have never. West Wing, I would have said, okay, yeah. The White House. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's all about the vibe of the person too, right? Like she told us she loves to listen to disco. So like, let's put her at a disco roller rink. I mean, what's more fun than that? She's fun. She's over the top. She's ridiculous and embraces that. And everyone loves that about her. So that's really what we tried to encapsulate with her clues. And yeah, but no, to your point, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we started out doing. Like, let's put a TV because they're on TV. But then people would get it so fast we're like, okay, we gotta take it to the next level.
Clue Queen, you hear the tone of my voice, right? So you know where I'm about to go next. You know we've been talking for a little bit. You know what they want. You know they want the clue. So before I let you out the door, you gotta give me this week's clue. Go ahead, lay it out for us.
Okay, this week's clue is for Jellyfish, and the clue is, so Frog, everyone knows you can freestyle.
Right on.
But guess what? So can our girl Jellyfish. She can jam, or well, jelly.
See, you got me thinking about this. Clue Queen, now when you leave, I'm gonna really be thinking about this one right now.
I hope those little wheels are just spinning all day, just thinking, who can it be?
They really, really are. And I wish I could keep you longer, because I would definitely try to string out another clue. But I know you ain't gonna give me too much. I know you're only gonna give me this. Yeah, so we'll take this. So Clue Queen, thank you so much for chiming in and giving us that weekly clue. You know we need that. We need that here.
Thank you, Frog. You're the best.
All right, y'all, that is a wrap, man. Let me go ahead and just thank everybody for tuning in, man. Join me next Wednesday with the next Unmasked singer. Who will it be? I don't know, but it's going to be somebody, I can tell you that much. And as always, I'm bringing you all the inside scoop and another exclusive clue. The Official Masked Singer Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Fox. Executive produced by my family. That's right, my people's KT Studios. You know how we get down. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And do not forget to tune into the Masked Singer on Fox every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Who is that?
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.